Hey, everyone. Good evening and welcome. I am Susan Mullen, intuitive and certified intuitive coach, and I'm here with my soul sister, Paula Hillick, author and founder of Think, Care, Share. And tonight we are talking about clutter and stuff and overwhelm. And what are you holding on to that's overwhelming, that is preventing you from moving or carrying on or just going forward? So that's what we're talking about tonight. We are live, and our calling number tonight, if you have a question or comment about tonight's subject, call in at 917-889-7074. And we will try to keep this relevant to the show's topic and everything tonight. So we hope you'll join in and say hello and contribute. So I want to say hello to Paula. How are you?
Hello, Susan. I'm feeling much better now that I'm talking to you. Thank you. Very happy to be here.
Oh, me too. How was your week and weekend and since last time?
I always say the same thing every Tuesday, don't I? That I barely remember what I did yesterday because, you know, I take on so much. And that's why I'm really looking forward to tonight's show, because I am a victim of my own overwhelm and holding on to stuff that's not serving me emotionally, physically, even spiritually. And I can't wait to chat with you about it and help each other through it, or at least help me through it, and see if there's anyone out there who's listening that's going through the same thing and wants to call in and share that with us as well.
Oh, great. And me too. You know, what a great topic. I think it's a great topic in general for anyone at any time. It's a great topic because before we know it, you know, we can all look around and, you know, and just see and experience what's going on in our, you know, in our physical and energetic fields. And when we really examine kind of closely, we see their stuff. And that's what I love about, you know, bringing things to the surface. It's like tonight we're lifting the rug up, you know, that we all have. I've got many rugs, you know, of this nature that I could really clean house with tonight. And that's what I love about purging. This is a great conversation. Anyway, I just think it is a great, I think we'll have a ton to talk about.
Kind of had like this physical response even when you said the word purge. Like, I'm so ready to let it all go. Like, so ready to, like I said, declutter all of those areas of my life and to, like you said, talk about it, lift up the rug, you know, have a plan and just move forward with clearing out, cleaning up, decluttering all of these spheres of my life so I can, you know, continue to live more of the life I'm meant to be living here. And definitely the stuff I've been holding on to, it's been distracting me, it's been getting me off course, it's been overwhelming me, it's been blocking me, and I'm really excited to get into this with you tonight.
All right. Well, as am I. And, you know, I'm realizing the same things and experiencing the same feelings because, you know, this is the time of year, sort of coming into August, because my girls are back home. I've got one from college and one who comes home for the summer. She's a teacher and she's back and, you know, she has a job locally. So, you know, we're experiencing a physical kind of clutterness, you know, in our home. But it's more than that. You know, a lot of things come to the surface. But I'm always one or the one to go, okay, so what's this about? What can we talk about at the dinner table? So I love this sort of conversation, and I'm always the victim, you know, or whatever, the subject of the conversation, because it's me. It really is me, because everything I talk about or I'm passionate about in this area really is a reflection of me, because I'm always trying to do this. I'm always clearing space or clutter and stuff. And everybody around, you know, like you said once, what's the name of that that book, Who Moved My Cheese? It's like people are really attached to their territories and their stuff and their piles and their, because it represents something. And it does. It's not that that's not real. That is real. And it's just navigating our human environment and, you know, merging into what we're really here to do and be, and but what we can do. So on that note, I've just been like shuffling this card. So I'm going to pull a card for this call. And, for, you know, this is for us, anybody listening right now, and for the collective audience in the future who may stumble upon this show and listen to it. This is for you because you are here. And this is about what we all need to know right now. What could aid us in our journey and path about clutter and overwhelm and what we need to know about that? Okay. Okay. So, well, the card is called Stuck in the Mud, which is really funny. So, it is in reversed position, and I'm going to read it. And again, you know, there's a upright position and there's reverse. It's just like two sides of a coin. Neither is better or worse. It's just there are two sides to everything. And this is the side to this card. You're being invited to stop and savor the wonder of your life. When this card is reversed, it reminds you that you're stuck due to your obstinate desire to get what you want, when and how you want it. Perhaps it's uncomfortable to admit that the course of action you've chosen for yourself isn't right for you now. Even so, you have a choice. You can struggle in the mud and get nowhere, or take a moment to observe where you are, then step out, wash away the dirt, dry off, and find other things to do. A much better adventure awaits you. You'll know when it's time to embark upon it. Oh, isn't that very appropriate?
Yeah, and you know,
tonight.
I think we've had that card before on the show.
I think we have too. I think we have too.
And maybe even more than one. So it's definitely a topic that is close to the surface for us.
Right.
And keeps showing up. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. And stepping out.
So what was coming to
and...
when you were reading that card?
I'm sorry, what was that?
What was coming to you when you, what were you feeling when you were reading that card?
Well, I was thinking how awesomely appropriate. Well, I know the conversation you and I had a little bit earlier today, how, oh my gosh, this is me. This might be you, you know, and my experiences and what's going on is like, you know, we all have to observe. That's like the best word, I think. You know, observe and perspective are such great words because they're very gentle. They let you just be without experiencing trauma or judgment or urgency. It's like, you know what? I'm just going to step aside and I'm just going to sort of clean up and brush the dirt off and look around. And that's what this card is suggesting for everybody to do, is to like, it's just sort of that, let's just, and I just, that's what it brought up in me, is like, wow, I need to hear that right now because of where I am. And, you know, and I feel like I've got this thing to do and that thing to do, and I'm always pulled in different directions, but I'm not necessarily cleaning my path, you know, tidying up my clutter and my overwhelm. I'm trailblazing through it often, but that'll come back to me. So this is saying, let's just kind of put things where they belong, and they're not that big after all, and that sort of thing. That's what it brought up for me. What about you?
Well, I love that message because, you know, I'm an A-type personality, and I make everything 8 courses, right? So even the whole, this idea of decluttering and getting rid of our overwhelm, and I want to actually take a step back because I think there's probably an impression that this is about physical stuff, stuff we collect and fills up our house, and that is there, of course. But for me, it's also, you know, the mental stuff, the spiritual stuff, the emotional stuff that's cluttering me. And I am that kind of person that always feels like, I got to take a course or I have to do a 12-step program. You know what I mean? Some kind of agenda that in itself is another job to do, which just adds to my overwhelm. So I love the message about just relax. Like, don't make everything such a big deal. Just, like you said, observe stuff, take a look around. I even love the expression you use, which is trailblaze through it. Let it all go. You know what I mean? If it's too big to clean up, pick yourself up, move to another spot, and start over. You know, like, why do I have – I call myself a completionist, Susan, right? And I always say, I'll start things. I don't like them, but I have to complete it. And why am I putting myself through a process I no longer enjoy? Like, these are things that – I've always wanted to, I needed to in the past understand about myself. Now I just feel like, oh, who cares if I ever understand it? Just recognize it and move on when you're no longer enjoying the process.
Exactly.
Just enjoy.
And just enjoy. And just remember that what it doesn't matter, you know, at that point and at your point in your life and my point in my life and at points in our lives, somebody way back when just kind of designated us to be, hey, can you just remember to be in charge of this, that, and that, and everything. And it ends up being, oh, my God, you know, I'm 10. No, I can't. I cannot be in charge of Uncle Harry at Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I just can't. You know, some things are overwhelming for us, but we don't know it, but suddenly we're in charge. And we carry certain things, you know, forward, and we just kind of think, I was set in charge, or I was this, or I was that. And that goes for, you know, those not set in charge, those this type of thing goes for, like, the ones that were, hey, don't worry, you're the baby, you're this and that, you don't have responsibility. Well, it goes both ways. But that's a different kind of conversation and a different kind of overwhelm and
stuff. I think actually it's perfect. I think it's a lot of what I think a lot of my overwhelm is caused by that or had been caused by this idea. It's still with me, Susan, but you're right, by this idea that I have to put everything on my plate, that I'm the one that has to take care of everything, even if maybe I don't even know how to do it. I'm still going to take it on, and I'm going to figure it out, and I'm going to do it whether I like the process or not, and that creates a lot of overwhelm for me. But there is absolute freedom in saying, yeah, you know what? Yeah, I don't know how to do that. Sorry, I can't do that. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like I never had that expression in my vocabulary, that expression of, sorry, I can't do that. And I'm actually going to write that down, Susan, because I'm giving myself permission to say, I'm sorry, I can't do that, either because I don't know how or simply because I don't want to.
That's right.
It's no longer the thing that makes me happy.
Exactly. And that is like the beauty and the joy of this whole conversation. It's like, that's right. Whatever you can recognize and what calls to you and, you know, it's like, no, that's not me anymore, or that rings true and that used to be me, and, you know, anything that rings a bell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you and I, as you know, had a conversation earlier about I was sharing with a friend, a work colleague, some relationships I had let go, and I was struck by how I didn't feel the same about it anymore. I didn't hold the same perspective about those friends or even my position on the situations. It wasn't the same, and I really felt a great deal of lightness looking back, thinking there was none of the emotional attachment to it. There was none of the pain, and I also, even if the same situation was in my life today, I know that I wouldn't have handled it the same way because I've shifted perceptions and I've let go of things, and I no longer feel the same way I did about things. I'm not holding on to those ideas that kept me stuck. And I think in a lot of ways, you know, they were victim perspectives, right, where when someone wrongs you, you take it personally, and then you hold on to it, and you collect all your little victim stories and carry them with you. And that's another kind of overwhelm. And it creates a kind of what I call, I think I actually stole it from Dr. Phil, this kind of psychological burnt skin. And whenever anybody says anything to you, you're so emotionally touchy, so psychologically burnt, that it, someone just very lightly touches you with a comment and you overreact to it. And since I've come through it, I actually see it a lot of times in other people, that kind of overreaction because of carrying these memories, these experiences, and all these victim wounds. And it just keeps you wounded.
It does, and it keeps the sore open. And so anything that keeps the sore open is not going to heal it. So if we're always perpetuating, you know, or experiencing things that keep it open and remind us of that, or, you know, we are all, you know, it's like our job. Like with you, it's like you healed something. So because of it, you moved on emotionally or spiritually. And, you know, whatever doesn't, if we can think back of things and it doesn't hurt anymore in the same way, we know it's healed. So something eventually does heal over and or bandage up at least so we can move on.
And wouldn't you say, Susan, that when you heal something, it's kind of the same as saying you've let something go?
I do. I agree with that 100%. I believe healing is a joint effort of receiving and letting go, because you cannot let something new in, which is a healing something, without letting go what is transmuted. Because I believe pain transmutes into love eventually. I just really do. It was like I've had some sessions lately with people where we've talked about this and we've taken something like similar. And we're saying, you know, this is something that is so in your life right now. It lights you up. We're talking about it because it's of you. It's about you. It has life because you're giving energy to it. You came to me because we're talking about it. So what are we going to do with this? By the end of the conversation, we've transmuted this into something else. So it's no longer heavy and a wound, but it's a healing thing. So it can go off into the universe and it can transmute. The person feels 100% lighter, less everything. And that energy, like I actually feel it leave my body as well, because I'm like, oh my gosh, what just happened? We let something go. We said, go on, please. We're done with you. Thank you for the lesson. You may go on now, but you need to transmute into love and beauty, because you can't just keep regenerating. You know, we don't want this boomerang. Don't come back to me. And don't go to anybody else. We're done with you. The lesson is learned. But when that happens is when that energy changes. And that happens not all the time, not every single lesson, not every single wound, not every single piece of clutter in our lives. But when it does, we know it.
So I guess what I'd say is, because I know you and I have talked, so there's this idea that if you're holding on to the heaviness, it's showing up some way. It's showing up in a physical, mental, spiritual, psychological way. This holding on, this cluttering up of stuff can present itself as a hoarder or an addict,
right.
I suppose,
right?
Or someone who's addicted to bad relationships or...
That's right.
All these different ways, or, you know, being disconnected emotionally and having, you know, some challenges connecting with people or you know,
right.
Living your happiest and best life. So for everyone, pain or whatever word you're using to describe that heaviness is showing up in a way in one of those four places in different ways for everyone. And I know that because we're also individual, there are different ways to get help with that and to release it and, as you call it, transmute it. But, you know, for someone who's listening who really doesn't have any idea what we're talking about, Susan, what are some of the things that you would, like, suggest that they could do to just even begin that transformation or that transmuting?
Well, first, the first thing I would suggest is to get very clear and very real about what it is that is holding you back. And sometimes that takes a coach or a therapist or yourself or just a best friend to go, honey, listen, you know, sometimes we need that reality. We need a mirror. So if we aren't a shining mirror to ourselves, which we often aren't, but if we can just go, who is, you know, or if our best friend is our cheerleader, well, I don't need a cheerleader to get me through the mud. I need someone else. You know, look at what, just don't disregard your options, because there's nothing wrong. You know, I'm like an intuitive coach, but it doesn't matter. You can go to anybody. You can go to an intuitive. You can go to a therapist, or just anybody. And just for a reality check, in a way, to bring you somebody who can zero in quickly and circle around you and just ask the right questions and go boom. So if you don't know the right questions and you don't have the clarity of even what's wrong, that's the first step. But the second step, let's say you do, and let's say you do and you're just working alone by yourself, so this is for anybody, is to get really real and you have to leave judgment at the door. You cannot bring any sort of, hey, this isn't, you're not good enough or fast enough or whatever. All that has to go, all that judgment, and you have to be your own best friend. So if you can show up as your own best friend and your own cheerleader, then that's, you have a place to go, because you suddenly have a partner who's on your side. So if you don't have a qualified partner on your side from the outside, you need to find one from within. So let's say that happens and you have that. From there, I think between the two of you, yourself and your higher self, you can really, you know, change things, and I think you're really on the right path. And I think that just takes time. That's stepping stones after that. That's just going, now I know where I'm going. I know the right step.
Well, thank you. You know, I was writing furiously as you were talking so that I could remember some things, because I had lots of things sort of pinging off of that. And I mean, it's so cool. So I just want to tell you, I love how you were talking about, like, you need a coach, you know, you need to be real, find a best friend, or get clear with yourself, and, you know, you need this mirror. And you're like, you don't need a cheerleader who's going to, you know, tell you you're perfect and everything is great. You need someone who's going to be really real with you to help get you through the mud. And I don't know why this came to me. And I've been thinking about this, Susan, over the last couple of days. No idea why. But, again, you know, I always say everything, nothing exists in a vacuum. Everything's related. And as I marinate on the show's topic, as we're coming up to it, I think I'm getting messages, right? Information. So guess what movie's been on my mind as we've been coming up to this show?
What?
You're never going to guess. Officer and a Gentleman.
Really?
In particular, what scenes? The
oh
scene
my God.
Where
okay.
they're all crawling through the mud. And the scene at the end where he says to that sergeant who has been so difficult and so tough on him, and he thanks him, and he says,
oh, yeah.
I'm never going to forget you. It almost makes me cry to think about it. And
I remember him crying. Okay.
Yeah, and then he gets on his motorbike, and as he's revving it up to drive away, he sees the sergeant doing the very same things to a whole bunch of new recruits as he did to them, and he realizes it's not personal. It's about helping them be the best people they can be and get through the mud. Isn't that weird, Susan, that movie and those have been on my mind leading
yes.
up to this show?
Well,
and not only that, I don't know why. I've been having these conversations with some of my friends where I say, you know what, me, Paula, I am definitely a truth-sayer, and it has not made me popular. You know what I mean?
No.
When I was younger.
Bingo, can I say the same thing? I just want to go, me too, so go on.
In my family, in my relationships, even with myself, and what I would say to people is, if there is someone in your life that's willing to put them themselves on the line and, you know, piss you off, right? Not try
right.
to hurt you, but I guess not tell you what you want to hear. And when people say things to you where it kind of smites a little and it hurts because you know there's some truth in it, then
right.
be grateful for that truth-sayer in your life. Because you know what? Most of the time, people don't bother to tell you the truth or tell you things that could help you because they think, why bother? Why should I put out that energy?
That's right. And what's sad, kind of, with what you just said is true, is that people just go, well, I'm not qualified. She didn't ask me. Da, 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 da. It's like, don't dim your freaking light.
Or even
we
sometimes people get asked, oh, you know what, I didn't want to get into it with that person because I knew that that would make them mad.
I know, but that, they're okay, ego. Okay, don't let your ego run you. I don't give a shit about mad. I give a shit about right.
Yeah, or helping. Is it going to help you? And
no,
then when you were talking about leave judgment at the door and be your own best friend and show up as your own cheerleader and see your inner self, and you know what I was getting coming to me then was, and you know we've talked about this, so I am a very critical person, but particularly on myself. And when I met my husband, he actually referred to a person all the time. And if I was saying something that was beating me up, he would say, would you leave Paula alone? He was actually referring to me in the third person. And then what started happening was I almost even started thinking about myself in the third person. And when I was beating my own self up, I was almost like I was talking to my higher self, you know what I mean, was talking to me saying,
yeah,
you know, would you leave Paula alone? And I know it sounds crazy, but I honestly, God swear, it was a tool in my toolbox that helped me move through some of my self-criticism. And the other thing that helped me move through it was seeing the child, Paula, right? Because somehow most of us, and I often do this even when I'm dealing with adults, Susan, if it's someone I particularly don't like, I try to see the child them because for whatever reason, I just have such a tender heart for kids, right? Even
yeah.
the worst behaved kids. And in my heart of hearts, I just still love them, you know? It's why I loved teaching the youngest grades because even when they're bad, they're so darn cute, I can't help it, you know? And that when I see that child self in the person, I don't feel the same anger or aggression towards them as I do, you know, as I do adults sometimes or did in the past with adults. So those are two things that have really helped me, referring to sort of this, you know, help my higher self referring to, I guess, my ego in the third person. You know what I mean? Leave Paula alone, and then just trying to see my own inner child and nurturing and caring and being loving and kind to that person who's really struggling to be the best person they can be, just like other people are.
Exactly. And, you know, I love that perspective. It's a very gentle way to remember and to recognize that, hey, if we can just look at our own souls and the souls of others, like you're saying you're doing, and, you know, the people you may not like, because what we don't like in others is a reflection of, really, is what a reflection we don't like in ourselves. It's a potential in ourselves that can rear its ugly head, right? So when we see that in somebody else being projected, we are saying that's something in me I don't like.
And
so
I don't like.
So if we can look at somebody else that we don't like and go, oh, my gosh, what part of her is like me? And what part of me is like her or him that needs just a little more love, kindness, and gentleness? And the minute we can connect with that, I swear to God, we can't dislike somebody else. I've tried it, and it works.
I was going to agree with you, but in a really lopsided way, where I was going to say, the minute you connect with this, what you recognize is that actually if you are hating on other people, there is a piece of you that hates you.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's what I was really pulling out of here.
Yeah.
There's a part of us we are not happy with ourselves because if, and I say if, but meaning I think and I believe that if we're all created equal, and at the same time and da-da-da, and we're here and we're revolving and coming in and out of doors and doorways and we come into the earth and we go back and we come back. You know, if that's true, how on earth, how could my soul possibly, really, look at another and go, you're doing it wrong? I can't say that. I have no idea what you came here to learn or do, share, or be. And because of that, don't you dare judge what I'm doing, sharing, or being. Because when that happens, we have a problem. And I don't feel that in what I do and when I talk to people and whatever, I don't feel that that is a setup we came here to do and be. I believe that's a man-made thing. So that's one thing. But on a lighter note, you know, clutter and overwhelm and stuff really is anything that stands between us and what we want. We just talked about all the energetic ways, all the ways we think and feel. But it carries over, you know, it's really the mud we're in that keeps us from moving forward. It can be, you know, in our cars, in our homes, on our bodies. It can be too much of just everything because we think piling is the way to cover or hide what we don't like about ourselves or what we're trying to hide and not be. But it ends up not being true for everything and almost all the four corners that you talked about earlier. You know, and that's where the physical merges with the energetic in ways that, oh my gosh, then we're really buried and then we're really in trouble. And it takes a lot of energy and time to get through that. But it's not impossible. But it's something to recognize.
Sorry, finish your sentence there, Susan.
No, just that it's something to recognize. It carries over to everything, you know, physical things, friendships and toxic friendships.
So 3 years ago or so before I began this Think, Care, Share journey, I remembered sharing with people this feeling that I was buried in rubble. Like I really had sort of almost a visual image of me being completely buried in rubble. And then eventually that image changed to me being sitting up and sort of being buried in rubble around my waist and my legs. Do you know what I mean? And
yeah.
As I sort of worked my way through some of the stuff that I was holding on to psychologically and emotionally and energetically and sort of pushing through, trailblazing, as you call it, that visual of coming up out of the rubble has changed. I just want to share two things because to me it reminds me of going back to that poem, and I can't find it now. It's in one of the episodes, the previous episodes we've done, of that poem by that woman who said, you know, one day I walked down a street, I didn't see the hole, I fell in, I was there a very long time, all of that, like that poem,
right.
Do you remember it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do.
It reminds me of that again because it's the same thing. You can you can lay down and be covered up forever. But eventually, it just starts with a wanting, a desire, an awareness, like you said, to know that you're covered up and want to not be living that way. And wanting to get up, you know, wanting to sit up, wanting to get clear, wanting to move on and do something different. And again, you know, I talked about how stuff comes to you as we're marinating towards the show. I posted something earlier on Facebook on my Think, Care, Share page. And it's just like a square divided into four, and it says, there is an Indian belief that everyone is a house of four rooms, a spiritual house, a physical house, a mental house, an emotional room. Sorry, a physical room, a spiritual room, a mental room, and an emotional room. And then it said, most of us tend to live in one room most of the time. But unless we go into every room every day, even if only to keep it aired, we are not complete.
Oh, that's lovely. And isn't that true?
And, you know, I'm not sure that I do go into every room every day. Do you?
No, I can't say that I do. And every day and every, you know, we wake up and we have certain things to do and accomplish and we get through and we don't. We don't examine. We're not just perfect at the end of the day. Oh, great, you know, I got through that. No, that's what life is about. We are always accumulating stuff. We're going to accumulate. We are. We're going to produce outcomes. But we have to make sure, I think this is sort of the lesson in the conversation, is like in doing that, we have to make sure we're letting go and releasing that which needs to be released. Because if we hang on to something that is ready to go, even though they're not ready or it's not ready and they don't think it is, and we do, we're supposed to let go of it. You know, that could be anything. That could be like, okay, I need to, like, take control of this friendship, maybe something toxic or something for your children, and say, okay, I'm going to be the decider here, and just do it. But sometimes we don't, and we linger, and it goes on 3 or 4 days. What do you think? Well, I'm sorry. No, that's when stuff accumulates, and then it gets murky.
It's so funny because when you said, when you were saying 3 or 4 and then you said days, what I thought you were going to say was years, because that's actually my reality, right? I linger and hold on to things for 3 or 4 years. I think it's fabulous if you only hold on to it for 3 or 4 days. But
oh my God, can we go? Can we just talk about that for 1 second? What are you talking about? I'm not making fun of this. I'm just really examining this because I'm. Let me turn this to me. What for years? I have things too. I mean, I have clutter. I have stuff. I have beliefs. I can certainly make a list right here of myself. So that's a great, great question to really put forth. We do.
Yeah,
I
mean, like, first of all, to look at your rooms, to each of your rooms, and ask yourself, what do you think you're holding on to there in each of those rooms? And then how long do you think you've been holding on to those things? And I want to come back to what you said, which is, you know, especially, let's just use relationships because it's easy, right? And everybody has them and everybody understands it. Absolutely, I have held on to relationships for too long. Friendships, family, like, you know, partners, you know, boyfriends and things.
Mm-hmm.
Relationships that I held on for too long, all kinds of reasons, which are mine. But to your point, they weren't supposed to be there either. And they were holding on for their own bunch of reasons. So you've got two people with cluttered rooms holding on to this relationship that's not serving either one of them, right? And at some point, it's a benefit to both of them when someone lets go. And if you can have that perspective, you can take a look back at situations where someone maybe let go of you and feel gratitude for it.
Oh, absolutely. I do. And I do. And I'm like, wow, what would have happened if they didn't? Or if I didn't, if I wasn't let go from this job or this person or this situation?
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's all a gift.
You keep moving, right? Because, again, when you made that comment, what would happen if I hadn't been let go of the job? If you can change your perspective and see that as a gift that's being given to you, and then you realize you're not supposed to be meant to be there, you're meant to move on and do something else or try something else or be somewhere else, you know, then you keep growing and learning. It's only when you lay down under that rubble, right? And just like the book you talked about, Who Moved My Cheese, when you won't leave. You know, if there's no more cheese, go find some.
Right, right.
But
you
if
know,
you just
some
there,
that serves you, yes.
You know, if you stay there expecting that what happened before is going to happen again, although there's no evidence of that, you're most likely going to starve and die. And, you know, I know when you read that book, I wish anybody listening would go and read that book, Who Moved My Cheese, I think it's called.
Right.
I can find it here in the next little sec. But if you just move it, it's such a little, it's called Who Moved My Cheese by Spencer Johnson. And it's such a little book. It's an easy read. And again, it's really all about change and letting go of what's not serving you, right? And having the courage to find what is serving you. And to your point, it's baby steps. You have to, I mean, because you know that I worked for a company for the better part of 20 years, 15 plus years, and what I was doing there wasn't serving me anymore. So I branched out to do something else, ended up at a company where that really wasn't for me. It felt like hopping out of the pot into the fire, and then ended up being with two more companies, you know, so stayed with had worked for in an industry with an employer for 15 years plus, and then ended up having 3 new jobs in 18 months, which was just crazy, right? And made me look back on that and say, oh my God, did I make a big mistake, right? But if you don't jump out of the pot, if you don't jump out of the pot into the fire, you can't run out into the world. You just stay in the pot.
That's right. You marinate and you wonder and you think, am I done yet? Am I done yet? Who's going to tell me I'm done? Am I done yet? Am I still being stirred? Am I still, you know, you're right. You're not in charge of your own life. You're not making decisions and you're not moving. That's
you're just waiting to see what's going to happen to you, to see, you know, yeah, I guess.
And you think there are puppet masters, you know, some of us, I mean, there's, this is a thing I created, but it's like some people, and myself included, you know, in the past, is I have been a victim of the puppet master. There are puppet masters going do, left arm up, left, right arm up, you know, and we just do, and we just are, you know, we just are part of that machine. And this is,
when you say puppet master, you mean people who are manipulating you to their own end? Is that what you mean?
Puppet masters in our lives, that could be, it could be a physical person in our lives that we just kind of jump to and bow down to, or it could be a thought that was inherited of that we still believe that isn't true and really wasn't ever true for us. It was just somebody else's stuff and energy that was passed down to us. So there are different kinds of puppet masters to look into and examine, but they are part of us. We just are born and then we start collecting them. And it just depends. It depends how we're raised, where we're raised, and who spoke to us and who didn't, and all of that. So it's a collection. And,
well, I'm about to go down a road here that might not be very popular. but, you know, in some ways, in the lives of my extended family, let's say, I have seen religion kind of be that puppet master, and it reminds me of something Oprah had said, because she said, you know, she'd pray to God, help me, God, I need this, bring me this, do this. She said she came to realize all the years she was waiting on God, God was waiting on her to do something. And I have a lot of extended family where the belief is that you pray to God to do it, that you pray to God to manifest it. You know what I mean? That you just wait back and wait for providence. You just sit back and wait for providence to plop it on your doorstep like the Easter Bunny.
Right. And no, that won't get us anywhere. You know, that never did. It never does. And it's in us. It's pulling it up from the bootstraps. It's going, what the hell am I here for? What on earth am I here for? It is not. I'm not waiting for anybody. I'm not going to wait for a sign, for anything. It's in me. And just to clear the clutter and to recognize that all the stuff we're buried down with might not be anything that has anything to do with us or anything to do with why we're here. So if we can discern that, and really cut through and go, okay, that goes to Goodwill. That's trash. Okay, keep that. So like when we move and clean out our homes, we can do that in like 2 hours with our energetic stuff. You know, we can do that. We can place things where they need to go. There are certain bins, and they're gone. You can cut cords to things that just aren't serving.
I think you and I have talked about this before, too. It's like, but you have to do your own work. Because, like, let's say your issue is clutter, like, is collecting stuff and hoarding it in your house. If you bring someone in who does the work and cleans it up, and you haven't dealt with whatever the real issue is in some of those other rooms that we talked about, spiritual, emotional, psychological, and it's manifesting itself externally by collecting things, and if you're not dealing with it and you're not doing the work and someone comes in and they organize and tidifies for you, then ultimately you'll just end up being in the same spot again because you haven't done the work around that clutter.
Right. No, nobody can do the work you are here and meant to do, and it will never satisfy you. It will never, you know, it'll never feel like a meal, you know, like, oh, I got it. I feel better, I'm satiated, you know, and I can go on, and I got it. No, that won't happen. Nobody else could ever do what we came here to do or be or feel or learn.
So this is kind of a tangent. This is a question which is kind of a tangent. But okay, because we talk a lot about we're all here to feel and do and learn and be something, and there's a calling, and it's yearning you to do that. So, you know, Susan, do you believe that some people are here to be a drug addict and die early? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think you said earlier, none of us know what anyone's purpose in this life is. So we can't judge. Maybe some people are here to, again, I was going to say to be a bad example, but that's a judgment. Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean, and I know exactly your question.
Yeah.
I do. So, okay, so my take, okay, so I understand your question. I get it. I've asked myself, and this is what I believe. I believe we are souls who come into this world in circles, in pairs, in families, and, you know, soul circles. And I think we reincarnate, and I think we come and we go. And we're going, what do you need to learn this time? This is what I'm going to do. Okay, I'm going to show up for you. What do you need me to do? I need to learn empathy. I need to learn to let go. I need to learn how to lose somebody. I need to get closer to God. I need to find my way. I need to get over addiction. I need to know what it's like to be in India with my hand out and starving. I don't have empathy for that. I need to come learn that. Somebody might show up to be a soul in India to learn that. Then they're going to go home and they're going to get a little bit closer to God. I believe everything we do gets us closer to our divinity. And that's our choice. We don't have to. We could stay in junior high our whole lives. I could go back to the other side and go, I'm not coming back. But eventually I'm going to be bored. And I'm going to go, where's everybody? What? They're closer? What? I need to go back and learn the hard stuff.
But what do you really think all this clutter stuff is here on this side in all of these rooms? Is it a diversion? Is it a distraction from the real work we're meant to do?
I think they're stepping stones. I think if we look at it as stepping stones, I think if we look at it as stepping stones to, oh my gosh, what part am I here to play in this person's life? What part are they in mine? That's what I truly believe. I don't think there's anything truly horribly negative except recognizing that it is. So when I don't see it that way, it's not that way. I'm like, what am I doing here in somebody's life? How did I show up? What's my job? What's my duty? Is it serving me? Well, okay, if I'm done, I'm done. I'm going to go. But what are they doing for me, and what am I learning? It's a stepping stone. Everything and everybody and every soul is just here to help another along. If we see it as anything different, we will experience it as something different. That's just what I believe.
Yeah, I think I believe a lot of that. I think I believe all of it, but I guess I just come at it from different perspectives. But as we talked about today, perspectives change. You know, my feeling 10 years ago, 4 years ago about an incident or a position or a situation, it's always evolving, and I do love that. And I definitely I'm really excited about embarking on this next part of my journey, where I really want to make each of those rooms within me the lightest and brightest they can be. I really want to be as free and as open and as expanded as I can be in all of those areas of my life. And to me, that's what my clutter in those areas stops me from being, light and bright and expanded. Does that make any sense?
It does, and it's a common, you know, it's a very common statement from a lot of people. It's like, but there's something standing in my way, you know, from that, from what I want, from what I say I want, and there's something physical or energetic in my way. So, but I believe that's that seed that will come up in a crack of tar, you know, we'll have a plant come up through the ground, you know, in a roadway. It's like, that's that one seed going, but I believe, I tried, I'm still trying, I'm still striving. And that's the human soul. That's the human condition.
I love it, Susan, because I think if you can change the way you look at things, you can certainly see all of it with awe, because
you can see the purpose
in the tapestry, right? You can see the reason for everything that's happening, and then just feel gratitude about every experience you've had. And that's certainly one way that I'm trying to view my life, the lens I'm trying to view my life through, is about it being an adventure. And again, I'm just going to go back to the beginning of the show when you talked about just observe, just take a look around, you know, take it all with ease.
What doesn't speak to you doesn't have anything to do with why you're here. Don't worry about it. Don't worry what anyone else is doing. My God, if you can just look at them and go, thank God you're here doing what you're doing, because look what I'm doing. Can you be happy for me? That's all this is about. See, that's
so what
where...
can we all do for each other then, Susan? What's the best thing we can do for each other to help each other with the clutter? Just non-judgment?
Well, I think it's just to encourage each other that, you know what, we're on the same boat. And your clutter might look different than mine, but let's help each other examine it. Find that person. I think if somebody is going, I'm overwhelmed in clutter, and they may not know where to start, they could be in a house that has, you know, a ton of stuff all around their house. So they have physical things that they're bringing in their home. And then they may have energetic thoughts, like that we talked about. It would be, where do I start? And to just go, what are my options? To be honest, like, if somebody is at that point, it would be, what are my options? And then to really get clear and get real about your options and go from there. Because not everybody has the same options. Not everybody is going to run out and get a therapist or run out and get a coach. They can, but let's really be real, and let's look at what we can physically do and find who's on our side and who's in your current tribe. Who do you have around you that can come to your house and go, can you help me do it, delegate it, or dump it? If somebody can help you do that, then that's somebody you can pull in. Other than that, you can go higher, you can go bigger, and you can reach out. You can get on Facebook, and you can join groups, and you can find, you know, free services and just things like that. But it's getting real and it's getting clear.
Well, if we're talking about decluttering, I think there's lots of businesses doing it these days. But interestingly enough, a work colleague was just looking for someone to do light chores around his house, pick up his dry cleaning, and cook meals, like very healthy, lean meals that he could freeze. And he decided he was going to put an ad on Kijiji, and everybody said, that's ridiculous. You don't look for someone to do that on Kijiji. But you know what? He did, and he found someone. And, you know, stranger things have happened. So maybe that's also an option. I don't know. You know, if you're looking for someone to help you declutter the space in your life, maybe that's one place to start. I don't know.
That's right.
And this is completely off topic, but here's another thing. Photos and CDs have become things that are cluttering my house. And I've often thought someone should create a job where they go to people's house and they download all their CDs for them into whatever it's called, iTunes, and, you know, download all their photos for them, because now we all have digital photos. I never print them out into film, and organize and date them. Now, I know you come from a photography background. I'm sure you have wonderful organizational skills in terms of your photographs. But for me, that's another job that is part of my overwhelm that I never get to.
That's true, and I agree with that, because there is an emotional tie to that. That's an emotional tie to a physical stored area that we are all afraid of crashing and losing and burn. Every time we upgrade a phone, it's like, if I don't download my videos, my iPhone has more stuff on it than my camera. It does now. It's just the way my life is on. Yeah, so everybody's too. So we have got to put that away. We have to, like, deplete our photos and videos onto computers and get them burned and get them on thumb drives or something, but something safe. But yes, then you have to print them. I'm such a fan of the printed picture because a picture, a virtual picture here and there, digital, Instagram, Facebook, whatever, yeah, it exists and it seems to exist for a second and then it kind of goes away. But, you know, for Christmas last year, I printed, oh my gosh, I printed so many huge wall prints for myself and the kids from a vacation we took that if I, you know, it just wouldn't be in our existence if I didn't do it. I think you saw them when you were here.
I saw them. They're beautiful.
You
yeah.
saw them. Okay, you did
yeah.
see them. But that was one thing I did over all the years that we've, you know, done things. And but I'm like, if I don't print this, if I don't bring this to life in a physical print, it just may go away. So, yes, I think there's a huge value and service in really paying attention to our digital images.
You yeah, know, I agree.
And yes, I really do. I think that's huge. And I think it's important.
That's a whole
because, you
other
know,
show because
it
seems to be a very common thing in people's lives is having these collections scattered that people just don't know how to organize and to deal with. And it's just a big to-do list. Nobody has time to do it. And maybe somebody listening will get the idea to do it for a business. Now, we're
right.
coming down to the end of the show, Susan, and I know we're going to start wrapping up, but before we do, maybe you could let people know where to find us, and then I could finish off with my usual quote.
Sure. So, yeah, so, you know, anybody who wants to connect with us or seek further, so I'm Susan Mullen. I'm at susantmullen.com, and I'm an intuitive and intuitive coach, and I help people. I really do, like almost every day, like clear the stuff and clutter and put things into perspective and tune into your soul and your soul essence to put you on the right path. Paula Hillick, she's author and founder of Think Care Share, and she is at thinkcareshare.com and on Facebook at Think Care Share. And I'm on Facebook at Susan Mullen Intuitive Living. So please connect with us, and we are always here to, you know, talk and chat and bring things to life.
And we'd love to hear from you any Tuesday when we're live at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And the little saying that I love to finish the show with, which is from Oprah, is that stories shared around the world connect people and change lives. And so I want to thank Susan for being here tonight to share her stories and her experiences with
thank
me.
You. Of course.
In
thank
the hope
you.
That we can connect with other people and help change our lives as well as other people's lives. So thank you to anyone who's joined us tonight and is listening, and thank you to any future listeners. And that's it.
Exactly, and thank you. And we will catch you next time and see you next week.
Take care, everybody. Have a great
radio.
Week.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.